You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I think that kids feel that gender is something, even if they're open to the non-binary conversation, there's so much an idea that we need to sort of get somewhere and then sort of lock ourselves in, put ourselves into a little box. Because that's what everybody tells them to do, grown-ups tell them to do. And that's what we do as grown-ups. They follow us. You know, what are your pronouns? Well, I'm this, instead of, I don't know what I am. Today I'm this, tomorrow I'm going to be something else. You know, so I've worked really hard in my outreach work to work with kids around realizing that gender is a moving target.
Gender is a moving target? I thought we were supposed to follow the science. Male, female. What do you mean there's a moving target? Thank you for joining us. This is November 14, 2022. We are live streaming on Rumble right now. You can go to Rumble and enter in one word, Larry Connors USA. That'll take you right to the studio. I know many of you are doing it and glad to have you doing it. Some can't do it now, but then they watch it later. I do appreciate it. I also appreciate you sharing with others so they can watch at their pleasure. And, of course, every program is put up later as a podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com. We were having trouble, apparently, with our streams last Friday. I think everything is squared away, and thank you for your patience. Sometimes things like that happen. Some things happen like an election that didn't go the way we went. We're going to get into that, obviously, in detail, but I want to go back to what you were listening to there in the beginning, the woman speaking. She is a documentary worker on doing pieces basically to help support children in making a gender change or accepting it. Sally Rubin. And by the way, some of her work in that documentary is sponsored by Bayer. You know, like Bayer Aspirin. Yeah, the same group. We're going to get into that in a lot more detail in the next hour, because when she starts talking about gender is a moving topic, what the hell does that mean? First of all, it's wrong. But we'll get her explanation a little bit later. President Joe Biden making some statements in advance of the G20 summit. He's in Bali, Indonesia, where they're preparing for that summit. Now, the G20, of course, has all of these industrialized countries, and all of them are there except for Russia. They did not want to go and be there. One of the key ones was China, and Biden has just said that he finished a three-hour meeting with President Xi, and he said, I got some things very clear with him. Really. You know, the biggest and the first and most important thing he started stressing when he was addressing reporters today? Climate change. We'll get into that in more detail. So where do we stand on some of these elections? You do know that Arizona's most populous county, Maricopa, releasing results Saturday from 85,000 ballots. It broke slightly for Republicans. Others have been released. I don't know what the latest. I'm looking at some of these now. Senator Mark Kelly has apparently won the Senate race. Blake Masters supposedly has not conceded at this point. Katie Hobbs is 50.7% at last check. Lake 49.3%, and Kerry Lake had said, we just need to have this much more coming in, or Hobbs had said, and suddenly, boom, they've got it. Republicans do seem to be inching closer to 218 seats that would give them a House majority, but 19 congressional races, including several in California, are still uncalled. So don't count that out yet. Democrats, of course, will keep the Senate, and everything now focuses on Georgia. and that runoff election between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker. And how many votes are left to count days after the election? There's still many that have not been decided. One thing Joe Biden did say and admit, he said, with the numbers we have now, he said there is no way we have enough votes to codify Roe v. Wade, which is great news. My guest coming up today, we're going to discuss that in more detail as to some of the things that have been going on with states' rights and state abortion laws. And also, I want you to hear from Mark Levin, the great one, before we wrap up today's program. A lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality. Lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The United States will meet. The United States will meet our emissions target under the targets under the Paris Agreement. And we're going to keep working with our partners to support the most vulnerable countries in building resilience to climate impacts and to align global ambition with the 1.5 degrees Celsius goal while supercharging our clean energy transition.
Yeah, there was part of Biden's speech today in advance of the G20 summit and making it clear, oh, climate's our big thing. We're going to get back in it. We're going to support the Paris Accord, get back all involved. We're going to do all of this, and that we're going to make sure that Americans are going to pay a price, that they're going to suffer. They're going to suffer and suffer and suffer until they accept the fact we're done with fossil fuel. He said, we're going to do our part, and all the rest of you nations need to do the same. They're not. They're not. I told you the other day, because of the winter coming on, Germany has reopened coal mines. China has never shut down on coal mines. They're going to use fossil fuel because that's their only source. And because we are no longer energy independent in this country, we need to reopen our oil and gas wells and start new leases. But nope. From day one, I remind you, day one, Biden signed an executive order stopping the Keystone Pipeline project. 800,000 barrels a day would be coming in from Canada. In addition to all the other drilling that we had available and underway, and he said, we're going to shut everything down. We're just going to walk away from it. The issue about climate, I always have to back off a little bit because I have grandkids, and, you know, I'm sure many of you do, or you're going to have other, you have your own children, or in the future maybe kids and grandkids. The problem here is, yes, I want this world around. I want them to be able to see some of the many things we have in this nation now. Same thing about animals that become threatened with extinction. You know, I want them to see these animals. I want them to see the world we have. I don't want them to suddenly be transformed into, as I was discussing with some over the weekend, Soylent Green. Do you remember that movie? About everybody, you're walking around in a green fog everywhere, and people could barely breathe outside, and they would stay inside a lot, and they were running short of food, if you remember right. And investigators started taking a look at it and began to realize some of the stuff that they were turning out, what was happening to people when they died? They didn't seem to have cemeteries anymore. They were processing them, recycling them as food. And in fact, some of the closing scenes for some people as they were dying is that they would get to go to a theater and watch a movie, and they would show flowers growing on a hillside and trees and birds and all of this stuff and fishes, fish swimming through the streams and the way we have our world now. I want all of that still. But these cult activists worshiping at the altar of climate, they just want to control. And they want you to pay and suffer for it in the process. I know I've said that numerous times. I'm going to continue saying it because when my opinion is that when something is a fact, it bears repeating because sometimes people just don't get it. They don't go along with it because they don't think it's true. So here was Joe Biden talking about in advance of the G20 summit. Now, let me break down the G20 summit for you again, just in case you're not sure of it. This is a group of 19 countries, actually, in the European Union, since now they're all together. And they're looking at major issues such as global economy, international financial stability, and, of course, climate change mitigation. The countries Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, France, Germany, India, Indonesia, Italy, Japan, Republic of Korea, Mexico, Russia, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, Turkey, and the United Kingdom, the United States, and the European Union. Boy, Larry, you're pretty good. You got all those in your head? No. Those of you watching on Rumble, I have a cheat sheet. Believe me. I'm not about to go off without it from time to time. From time to time, I say. But as I said, Russia is not being represented. They did not want to be in the same room, and that's all because of the Ukraine thing. The meeting that will start is to see what they can do to find ways to work together on these things, and that's what Biden was trying to point out today. But his first thing, the very first thing, was climate push. Then he gets around to almost like a second thought. Well, I had a three-hour discussion with President Xi of China. It wasn't a second thought, but I would have thought that would have been the most prominent thing to say right away, wouldn't you? Well, maybe that's just me. But anyway, here's President Biden on his forceful meeting with President Xi.
I just met in person with Xi Jinping of the People's Republic of China. We had an open and candid conversation about our intentions and our priorities. It was clear, he was clear and I was clear, that we'll defend American interests and values, promote universal human rights, and stand up for the international order and work in lockstep with our allies and partners. We're going to compete vigorously, but I'm not looking for conflict. I'm looking to manage this competition responsibly. And I want to make sure that every country abides by the international rules of the road. And we discussed that. Our One China policy has not changed. We oppose unilateral change in the status quo by either side, and we're committed to maintaining the peace and stability in the Taiwan Straits. We discussed Russia's aggression against Ukraine, reaffirmed our shared belief in the threat or the use of nuclear weapons is totally unacceptable. And I asked that Secretary Blinken travel to China to follow up on our discussions and continue keeping the lines of communication open between our two countries.
So he's made all these arrangements and so forth, and everything is all good to go at this point, right? Well, yes and no, because when he starts talking about all these things he's made arrangements for, obviously has to be a two-sided conversation. We're not getting any reports at all from China at this point as to how they think the talks went. And if it was really 3 hours, and if he was as forceful and suggesting things as he did in talking to the reporters, or if he was just basically sitting there listening and being lectured by Premier Xi. To my knowledge, I've been looking. I've not seen any audio or video from the event. There might have been a photo-type session in the beginning, but at this point, I haven't seen anything to say that Biden was not being forceful and being direct, but I haven't seen anything to confirm it. And my suspicious mind, I just don't see him getting that way with him. I think he, in my opinion, walked around the corners of a few things, tried to make a few points, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but did he do everything he just told us? Now, the Chinese leader also did some opening remarks, and he pointed out that he had not met in person with Biden since the 2017 World Economic Forum in Davos 5 years ago, Davos. And so this is Xi's second international trip since the coronavirus pandemic, and here's a key point I'm leading to. China continues maintaining strict lockdowns in some of its major cities to prevent the spread of the virus. Xi said the world is dealing with challenges but focused on the relationship between the U.S. and China. And he said humanity are confronted with unprecedented challenges. The world has come to a crossroads. Where to go from here? This is a question that is not only on our mind but the mind of all countries. And he did refer to the 50-year relationship with China and U.S. as both countries learning lessons and growing as a result. And he did continue a more aggressive approach to Taiwan, and Biden apparently signaling that he would again help defend Taiwan. But the White House has often had to walk back his statements, if you recall. And Biden did say repeatedly, as you heard, our policy has not changed. I repeat, it has not changed. Taiwan, of course, a sovereign democratic country off the coast of China, independent of Chinese rule, but they want it back. And during his two-hour speech at the National Congress of the Communist Party of China, Xi noted that Taiwan must recognize that China is their ruler. And that's a question for the Chinese to be resolved by the Chinese, not the U.S. of A. But buried within those statements I was making was a reference to coronavirus. I think we all agree now, even the naysayers and those who were claiming it has to be a wet market issue and it was just by mistake it all happened and it's something got out of control. It was manufactured in Wuhan, a Chinese lab funded with federal dollars along with Dr. Fake's group, and he even admitted at one time, yeah, well, I think it's a good idea to learn about these things so we can fight against them. I can't totally disagree with that. But he was taking no responsibility at all in the beginning. In the beginning, they were all denying it. No, it didn't come out of the lab. Flat out lie. And President Biden did not even address coronavirus and that issue with Xi. And yet we're still told it's a threat. And he did not even bring it up. But then he kind of wrapped up his address to the reporters.
On my first trip overseas last year, I said that America was back. Back at home, back at the table, and back to leading the world. In the year and a half that's followed, we've shown exactly what that means. America is keeping its commitments. America is investing in our strength at home. America is working alongside our allies and partners to deliver real, meaningful progress around the world. And at this critical moment, no nation is better positioned to help build the future we want than the United States of America.
I would agree with that, but I'm also a little more than slightly upset that you did not address COVID and the origin of it out of China and how they continue to have it and massive lockdowns. And at one point, Biden, as you heard, referenced, we're going to fight for human rights and so forth. You know how you best do that at this point? You can't go in and free the Uyghurs that are being held prisoner, the Uyghur Muslims that are being used as slave labor. We can't really do that. That would involve an invasion. We're not about to do that. But we could, as a president, go to various companies in the U.S., Nike, da-da-da-da-da-da, down the line, and say, quit buying your goods made in China by slave labor. Put a stop to it. Now, most Americans, they always want to pay the lowest price. I understand that. And ironically, those who are always wanting to get the very, very best bargain and always looking for the cheapest way to buy are groups that will shout the loudest about, you know, it's not right to incarcerate people and make them do this and do that, and yet they're more than willing to buy the product. That's why every time you see a USA company, I would support it. It's going to cost you a few dollars more, maybe. But I think it's important. And this president has that authority to go to these companies and say, we want you to cease and desist dealing with the Chinese and getting your products and merchandise from there. But that would take some, if you're watching, you know what I mean. Coming up, is the election over yet? Nope.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We heard that abortion wasn't a matter, that overturning a 50-year constitutional right didn't matter anymore. And then suddenly those exit polls came out, 35%, 40%. He started asking, wait, is that of just Democrats or is that of all voters? So what happened between those polls the last month that we all read and the voters who actually went out to vote?
The voters always cared about abortion. And, you know, if you would have looked at some of our successful campaigns, Catherine Cortez Masto, who was the last, you know, the results came in two nights ago, she was talking about abortion till the very end. So were most of our candidates. And it stayed in the hearts of the people.
That's the response of Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat New York, in response to Joe Scarborough on MSNBC. What happened? What happened? We were told that all these polls and results were going to go this way, and they didn't. And that abortion was not going to be that big of a deal. I repeated the same thing here for you, and I did it in part based upon the polling that was indicating even among black women, which is a target for Planned Parenthood, that 75 to 80+ percent of them, their prime concern was the economy and putting food on the table, inflation and prices. And then came crime and abortion. And the farther we got from the actual ruling on abortion, the less likely it was going to be playing in someone's mind. That's what the pollsters are also picking up, what they're being told anyway. So were folks just lying or something else? Well, we'll get to that answer in the second hour because as a political analyst says, there were several factors in play that, yeah, we blew it, but at the same time, we were lied to or people got in there and they changed their mind. Gives everybody an out, right? Everybody's got an out. I'm not apologizing for what I was telling you, and I did caution you repeatedly that while we like to think it's going to be a red tsunami, do not stay home and count on it. You got to make sure you get out there. And then you look at the various issues, the woke culture, the constant attacks upon our children, the predatory attacks, I would call them, on our children, which we're going to address in more detail in the next hour, the full issue of crime and wherever you live and how it's ramping up. But in the end, what happened? So I say we're going to spend more on it in the next hour, but I would tell you right now, Republicans still aren't to that 218 seats that would give them a House majority. And there, as I said earlier, 19 congressional seats, including several in California, that are still uncalled. That's right, in California. If I had to hazard a guess as to where those votes are going to go, and Georgia, of course, will be the Senate contest, going to be a real issue come December 6th. But Schumer also said, we were victorious because we the Democrats, we the liberal, we that were being held hostage by the woke cult, he won't say that part of it, we knew what was important to the American people.
Why did we win? There are a bunch of reasons. We had great candidates. They had flawed candidates. As I mentioned, the American people really began to worry that this MAGA group was controlling the Republican Party and our democracy was at risk. But the other reason we won is we talked about things people cared about, reducing the cost of prescription drugs, finally dealing with climate, student debt. Young people voted more heavily than people thought because of those issues. And so we won, and I hope I can convince my non-MAGA Republican colleagues in the Senate. The reason we won is we got something done on issues. And when I go back to the Senate, I am going to tell my party the reason we won, and they know it, the candidates know it, is we focused on things that matter to everyday Americans, while Republicans, the MAGA group, seem to be talking about the big lie and throwing these balls of fire over the wall. And I am going to reach out and say to the non-MAGA Republicans in the Senate, work with us. We can get some things done for the American people.
And they might, but of course, don't forget they were always saying January 6th, January 6th. Coming up, we're going to talk about state abortion legislation, where that stands and where it might be going. Stand by.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota. For all customers and employees, Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. That'll take you right to our live site here inside the studio. In the last segment, let you hear a clip from Joe Scarborough of MSNBC, and he's talking about what happened. I mean, the whole idea should have been we thought abortion was not going to be a big deal, and we had all these folks that said it's not going to be a big deal when you take a national constitutional right away from the people. He's wrong. It was never a constitutional right, period. My guest could back that up for me. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but we've had her before. Emily Waters, Research Associate with the DeVos Center for Life, Religion, and Family Heritage Foundation. Emma, glad to have you back on board.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, and I will add to my comments the fact that it was even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, one of the most liberals of those on the court. She wasn't on the court when that decision was made, but said the court overstepped its bounds, should have stuck with what was in front of it, and that would be state. Now, we had this last time around, abortion rights on the ballot in at least five different states, and some decisions were made. California, Michigan, Vermont, apparently enshrining reproductive rights. Kentucky voters said no. Montana abortion-related referendum, last I checked, hadn't been called. I don't know if you see anything new on that. Where are we on those, and what other states might still be preparing to do something?
It's a great question. So in all this year, we had six different ballot measures that dealt with abortion: Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan, California, Vermont, and Montana, like you mentioned. So Kansas was actually voted on in August of this year, and then the other five were voted on November 8th with midterms. And so Kansas and Kentucky were very similar, and they both basically said that nothing in the Constitution, state constitution, could be interpreted to include a right to an abortion. So their ballot measure was effectively
Which state was that, please? Which state was that?
That was Kansas and Kentucky.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so both of those are typically red states. They lean pro-life when it comes to state-level bills that they've passed. And so their ballot measures were hoping to at least solidify that pro-abortion advocates couldn't make abortion part of the state constitution. Unfortunately, both of those ballot measures failed, and so it basically means neutral loss win for Kansas and Kentucky, so nothing changes in their law, nothing changes in their constitution, but it does mean that an attempt to put some pro-life protection in the constitution failed. As you mentioned, California and Vermont both had a ballot measure arguing that that individuals in their state have an absolute right to an abortion at any point for any reason. And unfortunately, both of those ballot measures did pass. So those states can now be what we call abortion sanctuary states that are attempting to be a national lure for people to come and get abortions there.
And without parental permission, we should add. They basically said, if you can get here, we don't care who brings you or how you get there, even if you're a minor, we will start puberty-blocking drugs without ever checking with your parents, and often with a consultation, 15 minutes. You don't feel right today?
Yeah.
We'll make it better.
Yes, exactly. And that's what Michigan's ballot measure effectively did. It said that every individual, which means man, woman, adult, or minor, has a fundamental right to reproductive care. And included in reproductive care, you have abortion, you have sex sterilization surgeries, which literally means the removal of healthy organs if you don't like how your body looks or you don't think it aligns with your internal sense of gender. It means that minors could argue that they want to be on puberty blockers. And it also included a right to contraception and infertility care. And that ballot measure in Michigan passed, which now threatens over 70 state laws that protect life and protect minors from this gender ideology.
All right, I want to make sure they clearly heard you. The Michigan law, their Proposition 3, did pass, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Now, I want to, and by what majority, what was the number?
That is a good question. It passed, I'll have to check on that, but okay. It passed by pretty high margin.
I knew it was pretty high, but I couldn't recall, and I didn't want to throw a number out, and I did not mean to put you on the spot either. I know where to find numbers, and I'll do that anyway later. But I want to look at a piece that you originally wrote and prepared, I think, for the Daily Caller, and speaking specifically about Michigan, folks. This is critical. Again, you're listening to Emma Water. She is a representative of the Heritage Foundation for the DeVos Center for Life and Religion. And you wrote on this thing, and you did an excellent explanation, but I want to just point something out. Proposition 3 in Michigan did not just expand abortion on demand for all 9 months of pregnancy, it also obliterated age requirements and parental rights we'd talked about. It may confer a legal right to infertility care, including surrogacy. And then Michigan's Proposition 3 passed could provide men with a constitutional right to exploit another woman's body to create and bear children. That one you need to explain for me.
Absolutely. So, like I said, one of the reproductive freedoms that's protected in the ballot measure in Michigan that unfortunately did pass is something called infertility care. And infertility care has become a buzzword that has to do with everything related to in vitro fertilization, commercial surrogacy, and a very heavy top-level push to redefine infertility. So what this means is that if infertility is redefined to include things like an individual or a same-sex couple who might be fertile in and of themselves, but the way that they're going about attempts to reproduce is never going to bear children, they could be called infertile. And so in Michigan, they're one of the few states that actually has a complete ban on commercial surrogacy. And this is distinct from altruistic surrogacy. So altruistic surrogacy is an individual out of the goodness of their heart and not for pay volunteering to carry a child's couple. But with commercial surrogacy, this is actually referring to a very complicated market where agencies and doctors and individuals will pay a woman for the use of her womb. And so what this means for Michigan is that now that Proposition 3 is passed and people have a right to infertility care, if a gay couple of two men, for example, wanted to have a child, because they have a right to infertility care, it means that when the legislation is changed in Michigan, they could have a right to in vitro fertilization, so purchasing a woman's egg, using some of their sperm, and creating a child. But then it also means that their commercial surrogacy ban can be overturned, which means that they would have a right to then find a woman and rent her womb to carry this child.
And she cannot deny?
Now, she can deny, and this is what the rest of the article gets into. So technically, she can deny the use of her womb, right? Like, they're not actually grabbing women off the street
right, and
forcing them to carry children. But the problem with commercial surrogacy that we actually saw play out in New York just in 2021 is that when altruistic surrogacy is the only available kind of surrogacy, most women don't want to do it. So a gay couple in New York was really struggling to find a surrogate to carry their children because no women were interested. So instead, they had to pass commercial surrogacy and then offer to pay women high amounts of money. And it's very similar to organ selling, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like that's where I was going with
right.
that.
So So we banned organ selling because we know that people will do things contrary to their good or the good of society if they're desperate enough for this financial gain.
So
when it comes to commercial surrogacy, it's usually taking advantage of poorer women who need the funds.
Right. And that's what Planned Parenthood always has anyway, saying, no, you can't take we'll get rid of the child for you. And I have a lot of mixed feelings about a homosexual couple having either adopting a child or having someone carry it for them. But if the child's going to be in a loving environment, of course, they don't have to worry about what kind of climate they're going to be around. But that's with any child at any point, so there's only so much we can control. Back to our point on Michigan, by the way, it was at last check 85% counted, showing 55.5% supported, and it was probably climbing from there. Emma Water, thank you very much for your time, as always. We'll do it again.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Emma Water with the Heritage Foundation. Coming up, Trump may be trying to make some alliances. Too late? Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli, St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we have at this point a lot of second guessing as to what Trump is or is not going to do. He had said the other day prior to the primary that he would have a major announcement on the 15th. That would be tomorrow, right? This November 14th, that'd be tomorrow. I haven't seen anything that says he's changing the date, but of course the question is, well, what is he going to say? Maybe the idea that he was going to say after the 15th, after the midterm, after the red tsunami, which didn't happen, tidal wave, whatever you want to call it, he was going to say, you know, we are better entrenched than ever before. And we do know that prior to the election, when he appeared in Florida to campaign on behalf of Senator Rubio, DeSantis either was not invited or chose not to go. And Trump has made remarks about Ron DeSanctimonious, which you got to stop it. I know the man has a massive ego. You got to be if you're going to be president. But you got to pull back on some of it. And right now, after what we just saw at this election, this is not the time to continue to divide and conquer inside your own group. You cannot stand. I mean, as the saying goes, divided against the house, divided against itself, cannot stand. We already are letting many liberals and Democrats call Republicans MAGA as if it's a nasty, obscene slur, just short of using the N-word. That's the way they're treating it. MAGA is originally Make America Great Again. You don't even have to be a Trump supporter if you agree I want to make America great again. When they co-opt or hijack a term, then it gets all out of control. We saw it during the what were peaceful demonstrations following some of the police shootings of black suspects and questionable shootings. Some were and some weren't. But for instance, in Ferguson, originally peaceful, but when it went into nightfall, then the violence would come out, and those in the shadows would cause chaos and injuries and death in some cases, here and elsewhere. So they've taken the term that a lot of Americans consider, yeah, I'm MAGA, we're in the MAGA hat, I'm for Make America Great Again. Well, now it may have been at one time solely associated with Trump. I don't think it really is, never really has, but that's up to your perspective. But right now they're using it to just in the same way as Hillary and when she ran against Trump to call anybody that supported him as deplorables, deplorables. And remember the FBI agent Smurf? I know that's not his real name, but I'm going to call him that anyway. And talking to his lover, Lisa Page, also with the FBI, said, I was in a Walmart the other day, and I could smell them. I could smell those MAGA people. Trump has got to find a way to bring things together. If he goes on a rampage in his speech tomorrow, not just saying he's going to run, that's one thing, but if he starts lashing out at other Republicans, it's not going to be good. He has a massive following. I understand that. And I support a lot of what he does, but I've always told you I want my president to show more class than he has. He, Trump in particular, has from time to time. I really appreciate the way he left the country and what we had going for us, how well things are going. You should too, the way the economy was. Now, we're being told that on the eve of this expected announcement for a third presidential campaign, the source here is CNNN, that Trump is privately encouraging allies to support House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's bid for House Speaker. They believe the California Republican would be an asset down the road should the president be in a contested primary. In other words, he would have a California supporter. There are not a lot of Republicans in California. That's really not going to swing anything. In the past, when presidents would choose someone as a vice president, and they were choosing them for what can that guy bring to that guy, or woman in some cases, bring to the table. It's numbers, supporters. You're not going to get that many out of California. You get a hell of a lot more out of Florida. And if Trump can get rid of his ego long enough and have a conversation with DeSantis and they reach an agreement where they will run together, that would be, I think, unbeatable. I think it would be unbeatable if people get out and vote. But I don't know where DeSantis stands on that. He had said, and of course he's being challenged when he was originally running, oh, you're just running to get a step for the presidency. And he said, I'm focusing on the governor election right now, which he was. But many governors have views of being presidents at some point, right? By the way, I just saw that Senator Cortez Masto at the last report, she won, according to projection and everything, Nevada, denying Republicans' chance to take the Senate fully. But she says her challenger, Adam Laxalt, has yet to concede. And I think Laxalt has said, no, I don't think the votes are all fully counted. That may be, well, true. Coming up, a mustache from Mom.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.